there's always a theme in the readings, and those who pick them out start with the gospel, and that's following in some sequence. We have Luke today, Luke 10. We're reading Luke in this cycle C. So then the first reading comments on that in its own way, and then the second reading, in another way, comments on it. But the message, in its sort of nuclear form, is found in the gospel. That's the plan every Sunday. So we're going to look, so you just heard the gospel. So the first reading, you see, the command I give you is not too mysterious and remote for you. You don't have to say who's going up into the sky to get it for us. Nor is it across the sea that you should say who will cross the sea to get it for us. No, it is something very near to you, already in your mouths and in your hearts. And you have only to carry it out. And we're left there, well, what's close to my heart? What's, you see? And then the psalmist, you know, prays, I am afflicted and in pain. Let your saving help, O God, protect me. I will praise the name of God in song, and I will glorify him with thanksgiving. And then the next stanza, see, you lowly ones, and be glad. You who seek God, may your hearts revive. Come back to life, literally, you see. For the Lord hears the poor, and his own who are in bonds, he spurns not. And then we have the second reading, which always follows its own rhythm. Right now we're starting the letter of Paul to the Colossians. And so we have this vision of who Jesus really is. He's the image of the invisible God. You want to know who God is? Look at Jesus. Because he is the Son of God. He's the perfect image of God. Think of that when we do the gospel. You know, Jesus, that is God, is going to give the Pharisee and us some lessons. And so then it goes on to describe our Lord's dignity. For in him, all the fullness, that's a word, pleroma, all the fullness of being was pleased to dwell in him. And through him, to reconcile all things for him, making peace by the blood of his cross. Through him, whether those on earth or those in heaven. And then we get to the gospel. There was a scholar of the law who stood up. It doesn't say to inquire of Jesus, but to test him. So it need not have been a friendly conversation. But Jesus turns it into one. And so, teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is written? Jesus says to him, what is written in the law? Now, that was one of the typical rabbinic ways of seeing how much somebody knew. The usual phrase was, recite the whole Torah while you stand on one foot. You know, can you sum it all up? That's what he's saying. And so Jesus sums it all up. It's a text from the book of Leviticus. You shall love the Lord your God. That's the top. Love the Lord. Not only obey him, you know, try to stay out of trouble with him. Love him. With all your heart, this translation, all your being, all your strength, all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And he, the expert, says, Jesus replies to him, you have answered correctly, do this and you will live. But because he wished to justify himself, Luke is not taking it easy on this fellow. He said to Jesus, and who's my neighbor? Now that's an interesting word in just about every language. This text is in Greek, so who's my plesion? But it's describing a word in Hebrew, which means like our word neighbor. Neighbor comes from what word? Nigh. Who's close to me? How far out do I have to count my neighbor? You know, first cousin, second cousin, down the block, to the next town. Where does nigh stop? Jesus' answer is basically, it's up to you. Because you pick who you're going to be nigh to. It's up to you. So that's why Jesus tells him this story. And in a way, it's a rather scathing story, right? A man fell victim to robbers as he went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. That's a long, hot walk. I've done it several times when I lived over there. So he's going down. It's a big difference. I've forgotten how, 2,000 feet or more to go from Jerusalem down. That's up on the mountains, and Jericho is in the valley, right on the Jordan Valley. They stripped him and beat him and went off, leaving him half dead. Now a priest happened to be going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite came to the place, and when he saw him, he passed by on the opposite side. These are the leaders of the people. And then, a Samaritan traveler. Now, our Lord, because he has a divine enlightenment in his human mind, but Samaritans, they're, what can we say? You know, they're outcasts. Samaria was that part of Israel that was occupied by the Assyrians in the invasion. And the way the Assyrians kept control over a conquered territory is to move a lot of the leading residents out and bring in strangers. Well, those strangers are going to be very loyal to Assyria because they're not going to have a lot of friends in the neighborhood. That was a sort of a, it's intelligent anyway, it's cruel, but it, you know. So Samaritans have always been a mixed lot, you know, in regard to the eyes of Jews. They're not Jews by origin. They keep a certain brand of their own law. They're not really, you know, they're Samaritans. But a Samaritan came along, you see, came upon him and was moved with compassion. Now the word that is translated here, compassion, you see, it's related to your innards, huh? Your guts, your splunkna, the word is in the text here. You know, he was moved in his very being. Now you see, that's the difference between mercy and pity. See, pity looks to the need, mercy looks to the person. And that's very important when we're doing some sort of social action. Am I just here to fix up this corrupt structure, or am I here to show the face of Christ? Makes a big difference. Huh? And so he approached the victim, put oil and wine over his wounds, and you heard the rest, put him up on his own animal. So he walked from then on. And the sick man, the wounded man, was on the animal. And he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper with the instructions, take care of him, and if you spend more than what I've given you, I'll make it up to you on my way back. So Jesus then asked the question, who was neighbor to the robber's victim? He answered, the one who treated him with mercy. That's looked to the person, not just the need. Jesus said, go and do likewise. Now that's a lesson for us, you see. How do I determine who my neighbor is? It's not just the person who lives next door or the people I hang around with. It's anybody I want to be my neighbor, because it's up to me. That Samaritan had every reason in the world to let that Jew, persecutor, whatever, just stay there. But he willed to be neighbor to that man. So you see, love your neighbor as yourself. It's up to you. Who is your neighbor? It's not, well, how close, how far out do I go before somebody's not my neighbor anymore? It's to whom do I show respect, mercy, kindness, love, help. That's my neighbor. And it's up to everyone to have neighbors that come from what you will to do, which is different, isn't it? And that's a question then of your heart. For somebody like our Lord or our Lady, everybody is their neighbor. Everybody. They're close to everyone because they will it. And now it's up to us to see, to take this text. Because remember, what must I do to inherit eternal life is the question. It's not optional. You shall love the Lord your God, the Pharisee, you know, and your neighbor as yourself. And the expert in law says, well, just who is my neighbor? How far do I have to push this? And Jesus turns the whole question around, doesn't he? He said, who was neighbor to the wounded man? It was up to that Samaritan who would have been, if they had both been in good health and passed on the road going down to Jericho, the Jewish fellow would have despised the Samaritan. And the Samaritan, you see, acts like a neighbor. He acts like somebody close. And so the lesson for us in this gospel is, to whom do I wish to be neighbor? And the answer is, if you're baptized, everybody. We don't pick our neighbors. God already picked them. They're everybody. Well, it means I have to go and help everybody? Well, it depends on how much money you got. But it does mean that you have to. We have to look on everyone as a neighbor. It's an unforgettable parable. And the Lord is saying, you see, because the expert said, and who is my neighbor? Asking, I'm the center. How far out do I have to go before he's no longer my neighbor? Certainly, if there'd been a wounded Samaritan there, a Jew would say, he's not my neighbor. Many Jews, anyway. But the Samaritan said, that's my neighbor. I know he despises me. I know that if he were in good health, he probably wouldn't give me the time of day. But he's not in good health. He's wounded. He needs help. And he's my neighbor. Because I choose it. That's in that light, you see, we're not going to do it because we have to move on, but you can do it. This command I enjoin you today is not too mysterious and remote for you. It's not up in the sky that you should say, who will go up in the sky to get it for us? Or who will cross the sea? No, it is very near to you. You see? It's already in your mouth and in your heart. You recite this and love your neighbor as yourself every day. Jewish prayer. You have only to carry it out. And I think that's very important for us just in our daily life. And somebody will be potentially my neighbor tomorrow whom I don't even know. If somebody says, you know, can you help me? And I say, yes, they're my neighbor. I've willed that they be my neighbor. And therefore, the criterion, you see, is this word neighbor comes from the, I think I just said that, nigh. What is nigh to us, you see? What is close to us is my neighbor. Huh? And so it's up to me who's close to me. And if we really take that seriously, we could do a lot to change the fear, the anxiety, and even the corruption in our society right now. Just then you're passing somebody in some need, pray. Lord, is that my neighbor? Should I do something? I think if we do that, we'll find preaching the gospel a lot easier. Because it's not just speaking about Jesus, it's revealing Jesus. And that we only do when we love.